What do I do here? I like your thing. Okay, we're on page 1104. We are in Parshas Hazinu, Perek Lamed Beis. We are in Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk 22. Okay, here the Hashem is speaking, so to speak, admonishing the Jewish people. When you get it, have it too good. So what's going to happen? You start rebelling, you start worshipping idols, you start getting God angry, you make new gods out of nothing. And so what happens? Hashem gets angry, he conceals himself, and he said, let's see what's going to be the end of the Jews. 1104. Okay? And the last thing, 2 weeks ago when we learned, Kidar Tapuche Seima, he said, it's based on nation of reversals, children whose upbringing is not in them. We were discussing the word Amen, Amuna, all that. Okay. So, the Pasuk says, the next Pasuk we also learned, Hashem says to the Jews, you make other gods, I'm going to make you controlled by other nations. And we're going to see how you're going to like it. Okay. Ki Eish, Pasuk HaBeis. Ki Eish, Kotcha bi'api, a fire will be kindled in my nostrils, meaning in my nose. Va'tikat acheol tachtis, it will be blazed to the lowest of depths. Va'teichol eretz v'yevule, this fire of mine will consume the earth and its produce. V'talahit meis tihorim, and it will be ablazed, set ablaze what is founded on mountains, meaning this refers to Yerushalayim, that Harim Savala, there's mountains around Yerushalayim. So in other words, this pasuk says like this. I'm going to get angry. I'm going to destroy Yerushalayim, Rashi says. I'm going to destroy heaven and earth. I'm going to destroy everything. But just to take 2 minutes, because if you think about it, Hashem doesn't have a nose, and Hashem doesn't get angry, and Hashem doesn't do all those things. So what is the pasuk saying over here? A fire will be kindled in my nostrils. What does it mean? I mean, Hashem doesn't have a nose, and he doesn't, have a fire coming. He's not a dragon that the fire comes out of. But what it means like this. What does a fire do? A fire destroys. Not only does a fire destroy, but a fire actually makes everything back to its original earth. You know, you see this mostly by a fire, it's interesting. There are four elements. Fire, air, earth, and water, right? These are the four major elements. When a person burns something, you see all four elements at that time. Okay? It remains ashes, which is earth. There's the smoke coming up, which is the ruach, the air. You see a little bit of moisture. When you have a fire burning, you see a drop of moisture. It's like you see a little humidity there, which is the element of water, and then you have the fire itself is the element of fire. So it says fire basically, everything is composed of four elements. Okay? Why are things different? Because some have more fire than water and earth and air. You know, everything's composed differently. But when a fire burns it, it brings everything back to its separated elements. And the only thing that really remains after the fire is out is only the ashes, which is basically earth, nothing. When it says Hashem will make a fire and he will consume and he'll burn everything, he'll burn down Yerushalayim, like you know at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is going to do all these things. It means Hashem will destroy everything. Hashem will destroy everything in a way that, some of Farshim learn, and this is what we're going to learn soon, and that is like this. Hashem's punishment is not really curses. Hashem's punishment is not evil. It's all for the sake of good. What does the Pasuk say over here? Ki eich kotcho ba'api. Okay? And what's my fire going to burn? It's basically going to burn physical objects. Like the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Kila chamasei al eitzim v'alavonim. God, even when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he let out his anger on what? On sticks and stones. He didn't destroy the Jewish people. So here the Torah is saying a very remarkable concept, so to speak, of Hashem's love to the Jews. Even though he said the Jews are rebelling, they're having foreign gods, they're worshipping hot air do nothings, yeah? So what should Hashem really do? He should destroy the Jewish people. Hashem says, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy your property, I'm going to destroy your money, I'm going to destroy... But you guys are still going to be there. Okay? In other words, Hashem said, I'm going to bring arrows, but I'm not going to consume you. It's going to still be you're going to still be existing. There's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, you know, in the four capital punishments only existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? After the Beis HaMikdash, there's no capital punishment anymore. But the Gemara says, Rav Yosef says in the Gemara, that even though there's no capital punishment, but you still get capital punishment. What does that mean? So he says like this. Chenek, the Gemara says, a guy that did an aver that you're supposed to get choked. You know, we learned in the Gemara, you get choking. What's going to happen? You're going to have a sachre, means you're going to not be able to breathe properly, which is similar to choking. Another one, that's what it says over here, mizei ro'ov. You're going to get hunger when your mouth is parched and you can't eat, or, then it's like choking. Then he says, luchumei reshef. What does that mean? He's going to get killed like a guy that gets killed with a sword. A guy that gets skila, the Gemara says, what happens? A wild animal eats him up. That's what the pasuk says soon. V'shen behemis ashalachbam. I'll send the animals to eat them up. A person who's supposed to get sreifa, they didn't aver that you get sreifa. What did Gemara say you get instead? A snake comes and bites you. The venom of a snake is hot, and you die from the heat. And that's what it says, imcham azeich leofer. So what the Torah is basically saying, and these psukim mefarshim explain, is when you sin, that's what's going to happen to you. Okay, but even then, what are all these punishments actually cleansing of the person that sinned, and then everything else remains pure? Hashem said, I will destroy your Beis HaMikdash, I'll destroy your buildings, I'll destroy your crop in the field, but you guys will still be alive. So as much as Hashem, so to speak, is cursing us, but the bottom line is Hashem is telling us, in all these curses, I still love you. And therefore, and another thing we're going to learn soon in a few psukim, Hashem won't destroy the Jews completely. Why? Because then the goyim are going to think, listen to this, the goyim will think, oh, we destroyed the Jews. And Hashem said, that's not going to happen. He's not going to destroy the Jews, that the goyim shouldn't be able to come along and say, oh, we destroyed the Jews. Hashem doesn't let that happen. Okay, that's what Pasuk Chav Bei says. Then it says like this. Aspa in Pasuk Chav Gimel. Aspa aleim arois, I will accumulate evils against them. Chitzai achala b'me'eros, I shall use up against them. Meaning, Hashem says, when I'm going to want to punish you, I'm going to get all my evils together. Every evil plan that I have, anything of evil I get, all my arrows, I'm going to use up. I'm going to use up all my arrows, like the Mefarshim explained. I will get all my arrows. He says, Hashem says, I won't leave an arrow that wasn't shot against the Jews. Every arrow in the world will be shot against the Jews. But what's the bracha? That the Jews still exist. Okay? Now another thing he says like this. The kelim chitzei achalaba means the properties of the Jews, we said the properties of the Jews are going to be destroyed, not the Jews themselves. Okay, the Gemara tells a story. There was a Jew that a snake bit the Jew. And the only refuah, in those days for those snake bites, was to take a white female donkey and to cut it, to take the skin, the leather of a white female donkey and put it on the wound. That would cure the poison. So what happens? There was a chamart on the other side of Pumpadis, on the other side of the city. Somebody said there's a white donkey over there. By the time they went to get it, a lion came and ate it up. Okay? And now they were stuck without a remedy for this guy's bite. So Abaye said, Abaye was in Pumbedisa, Abaye said, you know what happens? A snake bit this guy. Why did it bite him? Because he went against the rabbis. What was the story? They said like this. When Rav passed away, and the famous Rav of the Gemara passed away, Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna said they should not bring hadassim or palm branches to a chuppah. Now, the sign of mourning, Rav passed away. He was the leader of the generation. So they said, you know what? When you make a chuppah, let's leave out the flowers. This guy went and brought the flowers. Anyway, he didn't listen to what the rabbi said. Because of that, the snake bit them. In other words, if you don't listen to the chacham, to the Torah, this is what happens to the person. So it's actually cause and effect, by the way. It's called, all the punishments are cause and effect. You, the consequences, as we say in the educational world. It's consequences. You sin, you get this consequence. You do a mitzvah, you get this reward. But it's not that Hashem is punishing us as punishment. What Hashem is doing, he's just cleaning us. And instead of him destroying us, Hashem is just destroying our gashmistika things. Okay, next pasuk. Mizeirov, pasuk of Dalit. Bloating of fat. What?
So why you say this is good to memorize? I mean, people memorize this parsha. I mean, it's all cursing and it's all.
In Torah, there are no curses. Hazinu is the essence of the whole Torah. What's the essence of the whole Torah? You listen to Hashem, you get rewarded. You don't listen to Hashem, you get punished. Yeah? That's what this whole thing is teaching us. Hazinu Hashem, these are the witnesses, everything's Hashem, and Hashem made us, and this, and Hashem takes care of you, and he gave you dvash misela, and he gave you honey, and he gave you all good things. And you know what the problem is? When they have it too good, God forbid. Shemanta visa kasisa. Then you start rebelling against Hashem, and that's when evil happens in the world. But there are no curses in Torah. You know the famous story that ever brings it down in a yom yom with the Mittel Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe used to read the Torah every week. One day the Alter Rebbe, it was Parshas Kisavei. You know, which is a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And somebody else read the Torah. In the Mittel Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe's son was not even bar mitzvah yet. And when he heard the curses, he fainted. And he was so sick that the Alter Rebbe didn't even know if he would be able to fast Yom Kippur. This is 3 weeks before Yom, 4 weeks before Yom Kippur. Okay? And it affected him so much. So they asked him, I don't understand. Your father reads the Torah every year, you never faint. So what was the famous answer that he said? He said in Yiddish, but he said, when my father reads the Torah, I don't hear any curses. I only hear blessings. Torah itself is only blessings. All these things are blessings. What are the blessings that we just explained? Jews sin. Instead of destroying the Jews, Hashem destroys their properties. He destroys the Beis HaMikdash. He lets out his anger on wood and sticks, but he doesn't destroy the Jewish people. Is there not a greater blessing than that? From all the nations, this is maybe something that's not proper to say, so to speak. A Jew that sins, if you think about it, L'cheira is worse than a non-Jew that sins. Because the Jew knows better. A Jew knows what Hashem is all about. A Jew learns Torah, and he understands Hashem's greatness, and yet he goes and rebels against him. Yeah? There was a nation, there were the seven nations of Canaan. Yeah? And then there was Amalek. Okay? Reish is Goyim Amalek. Zechor al Tishkach. Yeah? Timcha Zechor Amalek. You have to erase the... Why is Amalek worse than the seven nations of Canaan? Yeah, they had to destroy them. But there's no mitzvah. Timcha Zechor, Canaan, Chiti, Prizi, Ayivusi. Why? What's so unique about Amalek? Why is Amalek so bad? So explanation is very simple. The seven nations of Canaan represent the seven midas. The seven midas tavis, seven midas lois. Yeah? So the land of Canaan, the seven nations of Canaan represent seven bad midas. Amalek, the Gemara says about a reish is goyim Amalek, but Bilam said, the Gemara says, what is the unique evil about Amalek? Yodeya es ribeinai, u'mechaven limribei. Amalek understood the greatness of God and rebelled against him. What does that mean? Mainly you don't know God and you rebel against him, it's not so bad. I'll give you another example. Who's worse, God forbid, when they do an Aveda? A very religious Jew who does an Aveda, or a Jew that doesn't know too much about Yiddishkeit? Meanwhile, a non-religious Jew who rebels, who does an Aveda. Who's worse? Obviously, a Jew that knows better is much worse. You shouldn't say it, but they're much worse than a Jew that doesn't know better. Yeah? So if you think about it, when the Jews rebel against Hashem, who gives them everything they have, and it comes directly from Hashem, yet when they rebel, it's much worse. And yet, they're still existing. Why isn't that a bracha? It's a tremendous bracha. And the Mefarshim say, by the way, that in these things, you see really the bracha. It's all a bracha. Chitzei achalabam, my arrows are only going to affect your property. It's not going to affect you. This is all bracha. Okay, then the pasuk continues like this. Pasuk chaf dalid. Mezeirov, they're going to be bloating from famine. You know, when you're famine, hungry, you get fat. Uchume reshef, and battles of flaming demons. Veketev meriri, cutting down by the noontime demon. Veshem behemis ashalabam, the teeth of beasts, I shall dispatch against them. Imchamas zeichli offer with the venom of those that creep on the earth. And this is what we just said, by the way. These are the four capital punishments. A snake biting you is the concept of burning. The shemba emes a shalar bomb. Like we said, the eating, that's the level of, here he says, that's the skila, that the Gemara says an animal eats you up. These are all the four capital punishments, and even though we don't have them, but Hashem punishes in the same way. Okay. Michutz tishakol cherev. Outside, the sword will bereave, meaning it's going to kill people. While michadorim ema, there's going to be, inside will be dread. And you know, it's interesting. People, during the time of war, even though they're in the house, but they're scared, and their life is worse than even the people in the street. Because they're so scared, they know in any second they can get killed. That's terrible. And not only that, he says, gam bocher, gam besula. Whether a young man, a young virgin girl, a yoinik, a nursing child, im eish seva, with an old man, with a gray-haired man. What does that mean? So the Pumfashim explained, normally, Hashem doesn't punish kids. Hashem normally doesn't punish kids. Here, Hashem is even punishing the kids. Okay? That's one interpretation over here. That's how bad it is. That even kids are punished for the sake of the adults. Okay, now there's another thing though. Some of us should learn, what does it mean, michutz teshakol cherev, michadorim heima? Certain avedis, people do outside. Like he says, avedizora, he says, like iranidachas, when the whole city worshipped idols, mechadorim heima means that you get punished for the avedis you did secretly, quietly. There are avedis people do publicly, there are avedis people do quietly. People think, if I'm home, nobody sees me, which is in a certain respect worse than a sin that you do in the open. Why? Like we find in Halacha, the Gemara says the difference between a ganef and a gazlan. A ganef steals at night quietly, very discreetly. A gazlan, halachically means he does it in broad daylight. He's not scared of anybody. A ganef is scared. He does it quietly at night. Yet we know that Halacha says a ganef, if he's caught, pays double. He pays kefil. A gazlan doesn't pay kefil. So the Gemara explains why. The explanation is very simple. A ganef who steals quietly means he's afraid of people, but he's not afraid of Hashem. A gazlan that does it in broad daylight, his personality is, I don't care about anybody. I don't care about people. I don't care about Hashem. That's me. Who's worse? So Gemara says, a guy that's afraid of people, but not afraid of Hashem, is even worse than a person who's not afraid of anybody. Because a person, and therefore, the truth of the matter is, what the Pasuk's saying over here, Michutz teshakol cherev, you're going to be punished for the sins you did publicly. Or mechadarim, and from the inner rooms that you did the sins, you're also going to be punished. Hashem's going to punish you in and out. And not only will you get punished, everybody will get punished. Even the little kids. Even the little kids that normally are not punished at all, that's it, they're going to be punished. So there's a story they bring down that somebody wrote under Yunus Arasha. Andreas was one of the Roman generals. He sent them, why is he chasing so many Jews and he's killing thousands of Jews? So what, he says, you hate the Jews because they're circumcised. He said to them, why do you hate the Jews? You hate the Jews because they're circumcised. The Arabs are also circumcised. And you don't chase them. You hate the Jews because they're Shomer Shabbat. So he said, the goyim also, the kutim also keep Shabbos and you don't chase them. Why are you dafka going after Jews? So he says, you know what's going to happen? If you're only going after the Jews for no reason at all, God, the Jewish God, is going to take revenge from you. When he got this letter, he said, who wrote this letter? He said, I want to give him something. Whoever wrote this letter to me, I want to give him something. Which he really meant, I want to kill him. Wow. Okay? So it says, a yid went, Tadrayna said, I wrote it. He wrote it. He said to him, I wrote it. So, Adrayna said to the people, okay, chop off his head. Kill him. But meanwhile, Adrayna asked him, why did you write that to me? Before they killed him, he said, why did you write me this letter complaining why I only hate the Jews and nobody else? He says, you know why? He said, because I really wanted to get killed. The Jews said, I really wanted to die. Why? I don't have bread. Not for me and my wife and my kids. I live a life of hell, basically. He said, you know what? Let me get killed and be finished with the problems. So what Adrayna said? He said, because you live a life of pain, I'm going to keep you alive. He said, you're suffering anyway. Why should I kill you and get you out of your misery? I'm gonna keep you alive. But it's very interesting because Mephoshim point out, in fact, I think Rashi says this also, but Rashi brings down about the Shem Behemoth, normally animals are domestic. But Rashi says, Taka, those are Rachelim, the sheep were biting people and killing people.
Sheep.
And then he says like this, there's gonna be, he said the people are afraid of just being inside the house, or what, like Rashi says, what they did in the inner rooms. But here the Mefarshim explain what's interesting, that even the kids, normally kids shouldn't be killed, but in this case, the bat is so rampant, Hashem kills everybody. And there's one last thing he says like this. We know, you know, by Pesach, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem told the Jews to stay inside. Hashem told Pashut by not to go out of your house. Why? So Rashi calls over there from the Gemara. Once the Mashchis, once the Malach Mavis has right to go, he go, kills anybody. Innocent, not innocent, he'll kill everybody. Once Hashem lets go of the Malach HaMavis and the devils and the demons and he lets them kill, so he says, they're going to kill everybody. They're going to kill young, old, babies, nursing babies. Everybody's going to get killed. Because that's what happens when the Jews sin.
But Hashem could not make something that demons would not kill the Jews.
The what?
That demons would not kill the Jews.
No, the demons were punishing the Jews because they sinned. Nowadays they're bad. I mean, there's no shade them anymore. They're banished from the world. But in time of the Gemara, they were rampant.
No, I'm talking about the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Oh, no. Hashem said, you have to stay inside because then you're doing something that shows that you believe in me, what I'm telling you to do, and you're going to... In fact, Rashi says this, and when the Gemara says the expression "Teif shebemitzri hareig," the best of the Egyptians kill. The Gemara says why? When Hashem made Dever, which was the plague of all the animals, got killed. Yeah, so it says Ayori is Dvar Hashem. The pasuk says the ones that fear God, the Egyptians that fear God, should bring all the cattle inside the barns. Because only the cattle outside, this is what Pasuk says in Pashup, only the cattle in the field are going to die. The cattle in the house are going to... So when Mitzrayim chased the Jews by Kriyas Yamsu, yeah, called Sus Rechav Parei, so Rashi comments in the Gemara from the Medrash, where did they get animals from? All the animals died in the plague of Deved, so how did they get animals? So Rashi says, which animals were saved? The religious Egyptians that took the animals into the barn. And yet, they were the ones that gave the animals to go chase the Jews. That's why it says, Teiv shebemitzriim, the best of the Egyptians, even the ones that believed in Hashem and took the cattle inside the house. Look what they did, they also sent out things to the Jews, to kill the Jews. Okay, the next pasuk is a very interesting pasuk with a very interesting story. A famous, famous story with Ramban. Okay, it says like this. The bottom of 1104. Amarti afayim, Shem said, I will scatter them. Okay, and the Mefarshim explained this refers to the Aser Seshvatim, the 10 tribes, were sent away. Nobody ever heard from them since. Nobody even knows where they are. They're in... Even though the whole world has been checked out. No, not populated, but checked out. Okay. Ashpisa may enish zichram. I will cause a memory to cease for man. And this, the Mefarshim explained, that refers to Yehudim Binyamin, which are the Jews today. Jews regarded as insignificant. They assimilated. So Hashem basically said that. Okay. Now, it means, Ramban says, that Hashem wants everybody to know that He's the Creator. And yet Hashem wants everybody to know that even though the Jews sin, they're still my loyal people. Okay? They were net, because if Hashem said, if the Goyim are going to destroy the Jews, the Goyim are going to say, it's all our work, it's all my work, it's not God, and we did it. Okay, there's a remarkable story. It's a very famous story, by the way. the Ramban, my lawyer is being Zidane's brought on all over the place. The Mamloy is brings down, it's a famous story. The Ramban had a Talmud, the famous Ramban. Yeah?
Who wrote the Mamloy's?
When his name is Yaakov Chuli, I think. Yaakov Chuli. Anyway, so he writes like this. The Ramban had a student that was called Avner. Okay? He went Latar Basra, now they use the expression today, he went off the derech, and he actually shmad. He converted to another religion. He became Olah Lugdula, became very famous, and he became a big officer. And the Jews were afraid of him. He was a very powerful man. And Yom Kippur, he sent a messenger to get the Ramban. Everybody's afraid of him. He said, get me the Ramban, on Yom Kippur. The Ramban came, listen to this, he took a chazer, shechted it, cooked it, and ate it in front of the Ramban. That's tam chutzpah. He took a chazer, on Yom Kippur, shechted it, cooked it, and ate it in front of the Ramban. And then he turns to the Ramban and said, how many aveiros of krisus did I do today? So the Ramban said, 4. You did 4 aveiros. Okay? You shechted, you cooked, you ate, 4 aveiros. The Talmud said, no, I did 5 sins. 5 krisus. And they made a pilpul, and it said the Ramban agreed to him that he was right, that he sinned 5 sins. You know, the Ramban and Yom Kippur wanted to minimize the sins. Okay? So, the Ramban said to him, Ramban was still his Rebbe, but he said to him, Hagid Noli, how did you come to such a low level after you were Baki so much in Torah? How did it happen? How did you go so far away from Yiddishkeit? You were such one of my biggest Talmidim. So he says, you were the one that caused me. He said to Ramban, you made me Shmad. Why? Because you once taught us that Parshas Hazinu, you will find the destiny of every single person and all the happenings of the world. So he says that in my mind that was foolish. It was stupid. It's so unreal. Okay? So Avner said to him, so the Ramban said to him, Mr. Avner, I still stay by what I said. And the destiny and the life of every person that you could find in Parshas Hazinu. That's why you learn it by heart, by the way. So he says like this. Imlay Tamin, ask me. Okay? So the Ramban says to him, you know what? Ask me. Ask me a question. So Avner said to him, where is my name mentioned in Parshas Hazinu? Where's my name mentioned in Parshas Hazinu? The Ramban got up, davened bekavana gedela, and he got this pasuk that we just learned. Amarti afeyam ashbisa me'ener zichram. Okay? And the Ramban said to him like this, take the third letter of each word. Amarti, the third letter is resh, reb. Afehem, the third letter is an aleph. Ashbisa, the third letter is a beis. Me'enesh, the third letter is a nun. And zichram, the third letter is a resh. Which stands for Reb Avner.
Wow.
Okay, this is what the Ramban told him. The Ramban was revealed min HaShemayim that this is, so he said to the Ramban, he trembled, he fell on his face, and he said to the Ramban, if I do tshuva, will I be able to fix what I did? So the Ramban said, I told you what the pasuk says. What does the pasuk say? Ashbisa me'enesh zichram, the memory will cease from man. The memory will die. So what did he do? Avner took a Sfina Achas, a boat, no captain, no guy. He went in the Sfina, Tzak Sakag De La Mara, he went into the ocean, he cried, and the ship sunk, and that's it.
And he died?
And he died. The Ramban davened, listen, but the Ramban davened that he should be forgiven. He said after a time, Avner came to the Ramban in a dream, and he told him, thank you for davening that after the 12 months in Gehenim, I'm going to be forgiven. And this is what the Mefarshim say. You see that this is one incident of the Ramban finding in the Parsha Avner's name and the destiny of Avner that he's going to do tshuva. The Rebbe writes in the Sikha, it's interesting, that where do you see his name mentioned? Not only it says Avner, but the first one, the first third letter is a Reish, Reb Avner. Reb is a sign of Kovod.
Yeah.
Reb is a sign of Kovod. So you see, and there's another remarkable concept, that the power of tshuva is so great that this Avner is called Reb Avner by Torah. Chumash basically calls him Reb Avner. A respectful title because he eventually did tshuva. No matter how, and he was, by the way, he didn't have a din of Tinik Shanishba, like a little kid raised that doesn't know anything about Yiddishkeit. This guy was a Talmud of the Ramban. And the Ramban said, you were such a bucky in all parts of Torah, what happened to you? He went off, but the fact is he did tshuva. Yes, he died with it, whatever, but he did tshuva, and he was forgiven. The same thing with the famous Digmar Soin Aveda Zara, with the famous Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya, you know, that it wasn't a prostitute he didn't have, and he did every Aveda in the book. And then, when he eventually put his hand between his knees and he cried out and he did tshuva, yeah? So a voice came out from heaven. This is what the Gemara says in Aveda Zara. Yotze Basko and said, Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya, Mezumen l'Olam Haba. He's ready for Olam Haba. What is the Gemara? The Gemara doesn't say Elazar ben Dodaya. The Gemara says Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya was fit for Olam Haba. And the Gemara says Bacha Rebbe. The Gemara says in that Gemara, Rebbe cried. It says we work our whole life to get Gan Eden, and this guy did it. Beriga Echad. In 1 second, he had Olam Haba. That means even Rebbe understood that the power of this Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya's tshuva, or Reb Avner, the tshuva that Reb Avner did, put him in a lofty, lofty position. So these things that the Torah is speaking, what you're saying, all these punishments and all that, bottom line is, this is all for the Jews to be able to do tshuva.
Think Hashem accept any teshuva that the people they do?
You daven every day? Don't answer the question.
No.
Do you know that, are you allowed to make a brocha on a doubt? If there's a doubt, can you make a brocha?
No.
Right? Because it may be a brocha vatol. Do you know that three times, not you, but the man, three times a day, maybe you'd have married to, I don't know, maybe it's a tzadikus. But the men 3 times a day say, Slach lo navini kichotonu, yeah? And then they say like this, Baruch ato Hashem, Chanun, Hamar belisloach. Who does forgiveness in abundance. Now, if there would be any doubt if Hashem forgives us or not, we wouldn't be able to make a bracha. Because then it's a doubtful bracha. Maybe it's not true. The fact that it does what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, and he gets the tshuva. The fact that 3 times a day we say, Baruch ato Hashem with Hashem's name, that means there's no doubt. Chanun hamar b'lisloach. Hashem does an abundance of forgiveness. What does it mean? Marba l'slayach? So the explanation is as follows. If I hit you once and ask you forgiveness, you'll forgive me. If I hit you a second time, it'll be a little harder, but if I do it 10 times, you're not going to want to forgive me. Right? Why? Because human patience is limited. Hashem's mercy is beligvul, unlimited. If it's unlimited, there's no difference between sinning once, two, three, a million, 2 million, 10 million, compared to infinite. It's all the same. There is no question, you see from this bracha, that when a Jew does tshuva, obviously if they mean it, right, they are forgiven.
Doesn't say it's just for the sins that was the...
Rabbi Elazar ben Dodaya not only did the tshuva for all the sins, even the positive mitzvahs he didn't do, his level of tshuva made the undone mitzvahs that he didn't do also done.
But just this bracha, is it also doesn't say it's just for the sins that was
for all sins we get forgiven if the person means it. That's the difference, by the way. We learned this in the past. When Hashem kills you, Koris and Misa B'dei Shemayim, you can do tshuva. You can do tshuva. When Beis Din kills you, tshuva doesn't help. Somebody with Mechalo Shabbos, Skila, you know, two witnesses, everything. Tshuva is not going to do anything. You could cry and it doesn't help. Why doesn't it help? Because Beis Din, the courts, can only go by what they see. Right? What they see is, through the witnesses, the guy sinned. He did an aveda. Did the guy do tshuva or not? That's inside. You know, you could be a great actor, you can cry your head off, and inside you're laughing at the whole thing. Tshuva is belev. Tshuva is in the heart. Hashem, uveichin kloyes velev. Hashem checks and knows what's doing in the heart. So Hashem knows if you did tshuva or not. So therefore, if you did tshuva, Hashem will forgive you. Beis Din, though, can't know if you did tshuva. Because you're crying doesn't mean anything. Right? They don't know what's really going on inside. So Beis Din knows you sin. They don't know that you did tshuva, so Beis Din has no choice. They have to kill you. But Hashem knows what's going on. Hashem can make you tshuva. I mean, if you do tshuva, you're accepted. Some things need easier tshuva. Some things in harder tshuva, more punishment, less punishment. There's a whole bunch of, there's four categories of tshuva the Gemara speaks about. Some aveis you do tshuva, you forgive him right away. Certain aveis you do, you need tshuva and Yom Kippur. Certain aveis you do, you need tshuva, Yom Kippur and punishment. And then there's chilul Hashem, that the Gemara says, what you need to get forgiven is tshuva, Yom Kippur, punishment, and death. Certain aveis, the only thing that can forgive you is death. And then a person is okay. Okay. Thank you.